sister street fighter, Su Shiomi, beautiful and lethal. Sunny Chiba, the blinding fury of karate's deadliest fist. She's a one-woman death squad. He's a one-man army. They won't be hard to find. There'll be a trail of bodies leading right to them. Karate's deadliest team in Sister Street Fighter, coming soon from New Line Cinema, rated R.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
And good evening! Welcome to the first episode of the Asian Action Cast for 2024!
It's a leap year.
It is a leap year this year, which also means that it's an Olympic year. And we're leaping right into martial arts here on the Asian Action Cast, where we watch, review, recap, revamp the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. And my name's Sam, and joining me today we have Nathan.
Hi.
Rachel.
Hello.
And Scott.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2024.
We're here. We made it.
We did. I don't know about you guys, but I was quite pleased to see the end of 23.
23 kind of sucked.
I hope other people have had a better year, but we watched some great films and we did end up choosing a winner of all of the action films that we saw. What was the winner? It was a Jackie Chan film.
It was a Jackie Chan film.
The first, I think, that has actually won.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen one almost every year.
Yeah, I assume so.
There will be the Young Master.
The Young Master, which is...
You know, it didn't win Bleeding Steel the year we watched that.
I wonder why.
That's not a top 10 Jackie Chan film.
No, it's not.
No. But it was up against some stiff competition last year.
Yes, it was.
Young Master.
Mm-hmm.
We saw some great films. Kung Fu Cult Master was in there. Mm-hmm. That didn't make it to the end, though.
Triple R was
a great film. Fantastic film. Oscar winner. I think the only Oscar-winning film we've seen. You seen any others that have won an Oscar film?
We haven't watched Parasite yet, have we?
No.
Well, I mean, Don 2 deserves an Oscar, but didn't get one.
Shah Rukh Khan deserves an Oscar.
Makeup.
Yeah. But no.
So, what do we watch tonight, Sam?
Well, Nathan, this is actually one of your collection, one of your smoke and, what were you going to call it, cigar and brandy collection. This is a Sunny Chiba film.
Yes, yeah, 1974's Sister Street Fighter.
Where did this come from? What was the genesis? Why do you own this?
Because I buy a lot of action movies, Asian action movies in particular.
Probably
too many.
You don't just buy anything. You don't buy any old swill.
No. I like to buy... this is the Arrow Video version. It's a nice package. It's got four movies in it. It's pretty good. Yeah.
What are the four films? So this is Sister Street Fighter that we saw tonight?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I think it's like 2 and 3, and I think the fourth one's got a different subtitle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In the Sister Street Fighter collection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, fantastic.
I think the first three, just like the Sister Street Fighter, Sister Street Fighter 2, Sister Street Fighter 3. Then there's a, like the fourth one's tonally different.
Super Street Fighter.
Super yes.
Turbo.
And then it's, yeah, World Tour.
Yeah, everybody moves a little faster.
Well, you know, I came to Sunny Chiba, I think, fairly late. I definitely didn't see him when I was younger, so Sunny Chiba is a new thing to me. And looking at it now through the lens of someone, I mean, how old is this film? The 74, right?
I think, yeah.
So almost 40 years later, I can see why Sunny Chiba is a big deal.
Is it 40?
I hate to say this, 50 years.
Yeah,
50 shit.
It's 50 years ago.
74, oh my God.
Yeah, 2024. Yeah.
Holy, we're in 2020.
2024, yeah.
Holy shit.
50 years ago, dude.
God damn.
Half a century ago.
And he's electric.
Maybe that's what we should do this year.
Dig up dinosaurs.
We should watch 26 movies once a fortnight, all from 1974.
I'm sure there's enough.
Yeah, I'm sure there's enough too. And so, we just recreate 1974 50 years later and we choose the best movie.
I like that idea.
It's a terrible idea, but it's fun.
It could be good.
It's a good idea, but not something you spring on without any preparation.
That's right. Do your research first.
Yeah, I might spend the next week having a look at what movies we can do that with.
Might have to scramble for a few movies towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in the back of our hats when we're looking at films to choose going forward.
Yeah. Good, that's pretty fun, actually, because, you know, you could get around all of Asia with that.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it mean out of copyright as well? 50 years?
No, 100 years, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
I don't, public domain. I think some things fall into the public domain earlier than that, like depending on
how bad it is.
No, I think it's got to do with how the rights owner keeps up with certain things, that things can fall out. You have to keep it updated.
Oh, okay. Like all the Godfrey Ho films would be like bought by different, like some would be owned by Canon or something.
Yeah.
Isn't the original Street Fighter Sonny Chiba a public domain movie now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like some things do and some things don't.
Yeah, okay. Well, this one, I mean, if you're going to say films that are, say, heritage listed or, you know, the ones that end up being put into the vault.
Yep.
Into the, what is it, the film awards or the film...
an archive.
Archives, yeah. Like
the Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
Is this one of those films? Spoilers?
I don't think it meets the heady heights of, like, an archivist's, like, mission, but this is a pretty fun film.
Yeah, I think so. You got nobody here has seen this before tonight, right?
Yeah.
We opened the plastic on this. I've not seen it before today.
Mm. But we have all seen The Street Fighter.
Yes.
And that was a baller film. The same year, Sonny Chiba made that film. They made this film. And I don't know. I was hoping for exploitation and violence, which we got.
I wish there was a little bit more like ridiculous violence.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, it's yes.
It's not ridiculous enough.
It's not... I don't know if you... Do you guys remember how ridiculous the original Street Fighter was?
Well, there's that X-ray shot where he punches a guy.
That's right. He smashes that dude's head and he rips off that guy's junk.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many fun bits. This is a lot of spurting. I'll give it that. Lots of, like spurting chest wounds but and some intestines, but nothing as good as that, like, X-ray shot.
Yeah, I want to say that... Actually, should we introduce some of the main players to this film?
How would you describe this movie to someone who hasn't seen it before,
Sam? Oh, yes.
Sam?
Thank you, Scott. It's 2024. Oh, Jesus. Dropping shit everywhere. All right, I'll go first because you asked me, Scott. How would I describe this film? It would be Charlie's Angel kicks the shit out of everyone until the main guy shows up and then takes over.
Pretty good. I want to say, I've got to save my brother. Bimmy and Jimmy need me.
Bimmy isn't even a real name.
That's what this movie is.
Get in the bin when bad guys wear bins on their heads.
Waste paper baskets.
This is campy Batman, like 1960s Batman filtered through a Bruce exploitation. This is great.
Yeah, it's
like the Dutch angles, the zooming in, the weird sets. This is totally
what you call it? Dutch angle.
Is that what they have, like the
it's like usually shot from slightly below and
for a campy, silly movie, this is a lot of weird and different camera shots. So this is like Batman for me. It's glorious.
And the music's also really like bombastic like that too. Like
I'll talk about the music a bit later. I'll talk about it now. Fuck it. There's some really good 70s music in this, and there's some scenes where it's like this would totally use some music and it's just silent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old movies do that sometimes though, right? Like old movies sometimes just like, yeah, we're just not going to have any music for a bit. But I'm like, you need music.
But weirdly so. Yeah. Like in a scene that actually needs it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's some tense moments where like the lack of music works and there's like, oh, this needs a... Nothing.
Yeah.
I did like the diegetic music though when he's sitting by the pool and he turns it off.
Click. Yeah, that's we were talking about that. Like the music is turned off by his tape player.
Because we thought it was... cassettes yet? 74?
8 tracks maybe?
Just wondering.
Well, I like it though because it's playing as if it's part of the score, so you think it's part of the film.
But he turns it off. Like,
that guy has the biggest pool in the world.
Yeah, that's got to be a real spot somewhere in Japan.
Mm, yeah,
it's more than a 50-meter pool.
It's huge.
It's beyond an Olympic-sized swimming pool. But I think I thought all of the sets were really good. Like the bad guy's lair.
I will say that the dungeon stone looked a little bit like a plastic tarp.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't blowing around in the wind.
No. It looks like it had been sealed with something, but it was very funny looking.
Yeah. Bats.
Bats.
Live bats.
Dead bats.
On strings that you could see, like, floating around in the light.
So,
let's go for some cast, eh?
Some cast and some trivia. So, do you want to do the original title? I have it up here, Scott, but that's usually your jam.
I don't have it, so go for it.
Ah, yeah. Sister Street Fighter, originally called... Ona Hisatsuken.
That's a good pronunciation.
Is it really? All right. Sounds like a Street Fighter move.
Do you know what it's called in the UK? Revenge of the Dragon.
Give me all these garbage titles.
And do you know what it's called in Germany?
Dragon Ninja Fights Back. Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Be something.
It's D Karate Tiger or Die Karate Tiger. So
Die Karate Tiger.
Well, German. D.
Oh, the Karate the. Tiger.
Yeah. So Revenge of the Dragon or D Karate Tiger. Or Die Karate Tiger. That could be it.
Calling a lady dragon in the subs.
Mm. I thought it was more like a condescending.
Ooh. Oh, it definitely was. But at the same time, she's earned the moniker. She kicked the shit out of like a lot of dudes.
She did. But also, it was kind of touch and go.
I think your next bit of trivia would be this had a couple of cut versions. So this originally came out as an X-rated movie, and they cut like 6 minutes of footage out of it. And on this version here, they restored collection.
You could probably guess which ones.
The spurts. I'm assuming it's the
spurts. They restored that footage.
Boobies? And the boobies.
It's got to be the boobies, right?
The boobies and the spurts, I bet.
Mm. But the spurts, I mean, like you either cut all the spurts out or you cut none of the spurts out.
Yeah, no. I think they probably cut all the spurts
intestines.
Out.
Intestines.
The intestines. Spoiler. Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. And it came from the appropriate guy, too. Fat rapist guy. Sonny Chiba was in this film.
And briefly. You know what? He might, if he's like top billing on the DVD or the Blu-ray there, he might be a early contender for the My Lucky Stars Award of being in the movie but not in the movie for that long.
He was in quite a bit, though.
He was in a fair amount of this movie.
You think 20 minutes max?
Yeah, I'd say about the same amount of time as Jackie Chan was in My Lucky Stars.
You know what? I'd love to know if you measure the amount of screen time he had versus the amount of screen time she had. Because she didn't have that much screen time either. Because there's a bunch of ensemble people, like her sisters, I guess those girls.
She kind of disappears and just jumps back in, right?
Yeah. Characters come and go.
But she's in it quite a bit because of like the beginnings. She's talking to that dude for a while. She's in more scenes than he is.
Although, as per our end of year special last year, the My Lucky Stars Award seems to be relegated to a cameo that isn't necessary.
Yeah, it's a short cameo usually, not a...
Well, one that doesn't make sense or isn't necessary.
It makes sense in this, kind of.
Well, it's not a cameo. I'm just...
Is it promise unfulfilled? Like, you have a character that you go, ooh, we're going to see Cynthia Rothrock.
That was the karate champion, wasn't it?
Oh, Ava Parrish.
Oh, yes. Yeah, what's her name? Ava Parrish?
Allegedly.
Australian? Oh, sorry. Subtitle. South Hemisphere karate champion.
Yes.
She looked good. I assume she was a real karate champion.
Sounds like it.
We could probably look that up.
Also, actually, I think this is probably a common knowledge for a lot of people, but our main actress, Etsuko Shihomi, for the international release, they romanized her name to Sue Shihomi.
That's where you get Sunny from as well.
Yeah. I think that's people like acting like it's a big deal. It's like, well, whatever.
It's annoying, though. I find it annoying.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
It's a lazy 70s, 80s kind of like naming.
I always felt like, you know, they chose them themselves, but I don't like it when they get chose for them.
They're like Duke Sonata or Harry or something like that.
Can you imagine giving yourself a name like Duke? You know,
that takes some balls.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I'm Duke Sonata.
I'm going with King Mother.
I mean, the fact that he doesn't actually use that name anymore is probably telling.
What if it was the opposite and we were famous and we had just sort of, for lack of a better term, Asian our names up?
I actually was thinking the exact same thing. What would it be?
Wang.
Wang? So your name would be Wang?
Wang.
That doesn't sound anything like your name, Scott.
Get in the bin.
A lot of names don't sound anything like people's names.
Yeah, I know, but if you were going to Asia
In terms of like a Scott, I don't know if there's an equivalent.
Scotto.
When they try and Japanese my name, it always starts to sound like brother.
Brother.
Nissan.
Nissan.
That works.
No, but it happens. That's what happens.
Nissan.
I'm like, I don't know.
That's pretty good. Yeah, but that's not really a name that
No,
you
it's
could,
not.
It's not a brandable name.
Nissan.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a name that's like... But I guess in Asia, you want a Western name because that actually... That's the brand that they're going for, right? Like Jimmy Yu and, you know, like Yun Biu was Jimmy Bao or whatever his name
serious?
Was.
Serious?
Bimmy. What? It was Bimmy, goddamn.
That's what I mean. Like, it's cool, right? Like BTS, what are the names of all those guys?
Well, I thought they had like the wrong people. I thought they had like Korean name and Japanese name, like some of those K-pop groups do.
Korean and Japanese,
yeah, name. for that market.
So, sometimes, anyway,
because we're really off topic here.
Yeah, we are. I'd be called Takeshi.
Anyway, I have a Chinese name, so whatever.
Takeshi. Sorry, you're right. Wang's pretty low hanging fruit.
No, Wang's great. There's my friend, Big Wang.
What about Big Yank?
Big Yank. Right next to what's his name? Jeffrey Falcon.
Oh, that was Hell that yeah. one. Yeah, sorry.
Big Yank. It was a bit of fun. She was the only Westerner in this film, I want to say. Ava Parrish.
Well, was she in the film?
She was. She showed up. I mean, she had a day at that island.
She's not credited at all. I can't find any information about this person.
Is she real? I don't believe that she's a real champion. The way she moved didn't seem
You know what would
def-
you know what would definitely be on Wikipedia? Championship winners.
No, she like, is. What?
Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, no, she legit is. She is an Australian karate champion.
I'll take it the fuck back then.
Yeah. She is an Australian karate champion.
I feel like they cut her role somehow. Like, she was meant to be in a fight.
That was in the cut version.
She's still waiting for a fight.
Maybe she looked too good.
Well, it's quite possible because I don't think the main actor is a martial artist.
No. She looks like a dancer, maybe. She's flexible and she moves quite well. So, what's her name? Sue?
Can I give... yes, that's her name. Her name.
It's a westernized name.
Etsuko Shihomi. Can I give a big shout out to Shohei Yamamoto, who I believe is the Yakuza boss wearing the he is campy and glorious, just puffing on a cigar, glasses on 24/7. He's so cool.
Just flipping. Flips and shit.
When he does that flip in the air, that's him, right? Yeah. Like doing that flip.
I don't know that.
You look good.
You can get away with a lot with some sunglasses.
Yeah, he's upside down too. Yeah. So that kind of.
So we got the weird little loop running here. They show a shot of her brother, and it's like a big dramatic zoom in on a mirror, and it's like, oh, that's cool.
So yes, this film. How does it start? Her brother has been.
It starts taken. With police captain or someone giving her a spiel about
No.
It starts with a giant gong.
It starts with a kaleidoscope of halls of mirrors and.
Oh yeah, technically it starts with some water splashing and the Toei sign coming up.
It's a Toei film.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it has to showcase her martial arts so that we're all watching it going, oh yeah, she could take care of business.
She's in front of the hall of mirrors.
Yeah.
Well, she's obviously fought a martial arts battle
before. It's very much like a TV, 70s TV show intro.
Yeah.
But it's out of context because it's just her doing moves by herself in the mirrors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, yeah, she can move, but can she fight? And we don't know that yet.
No.
No. And she's in, we start in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. And we get the...
I mean, it's Hong Kong, I guess. It's a bit on the nose. And they have lots of tracking shots and, mm-hmm. Shots of places in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to a sterile room. And we think it's still in Hong Kong because she's wearing a cheongsam.
Well, she wears a cheongsam the whole time, pretty much.
Isn't a cheongsam like a fancy dress? Isn't that just like a coat she's wearing?
It's got the frog eye.
It's just a style with the buttons, really.
I don't think it's a cheongsam.
Dress because, cheong actually means like long, but...
It's not long.
So it's a short sum.
Question for you. If is seen as like the generic Asian music, when people watch Western movies, is that...
That's Italian.
Yeah.
But is that like...
Spaghetti Western.
Spaghetti Western.
Sure, but is that seen as the equivalent?
No, I don't
think
so.
What's the equivalent music then?
The equivalent... I don't think there is a specific white music.
What about... Bow.
That fucking tuba.
No, because there's a lot of bow in this.
It's like Baby Elephant Walk.
That's just mine. It just plays when I enter a room.
It's Yakety Sax.
I don't know. I think in this film, because you see it when they had Hong Kong, it was like... And then we went to Japan... And it was like a really nice...
It's like a jazzy little moody bit of music. I'm like, yeah, that's a bit on the nose.
As if to say, oh, we're pretty cultured. It's
stereotype, right? Because Chinese people are usually like gangsters also in Japan.
I don't think it's very fair to just single them out. They're not gangsters because they're Chinese. They're gangsters because they work in the ports. Right?
They're gangsters because they got hair wigs.
Yep. Glasses on at midnight.
So,
and also that heroin that they have. That makes them gangsters too.
Heroin or cocaine? What's the difference? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they say heroin earlier. But I think he might have a cocktail of drugs he uses. Because he keeps saying he's experimenting on that dude. So
it was interesting though that they even bothered to have the background of her being half Chinese. I don't understand why they would bother. Why they wouldn't just go, well, she just...
To link her with the underworld somehow.
Is that it? That's the only reason? It.
And then an excuse to give her a nice costume.
Okay,
and
I guess.
And buns at the beginning.
So. According to Wikipedia, there are a few Chinese actresses in this movie. So we've got Ji Zhurong as Fanny Singer, like Fan Sing.
Isn't she the one Chinese? At the beginning, right? Yeah,
she's speaking Japanese, so I'm not sure.
Was she dubbed?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe she knows Japanese.
Is it stage name?
Maybe they just got actresses that could speak Japanese because they were shooting in Japan.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, she's got a good face. Like, mm-hmm. Sue's got a great face for her. She's mugging a bit. She could be angrier. I thought.
She could be angry. She could let her little pointy tooth out a bit more often.
Her cute little cat tooth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe she didn't want to be too cute.
Yep. Also, what about with that Buddhist symbol Nazi shit all over the place? That was pretty crazy, huh?
Isn't it any worse than Buddha's palm where he's floating?
Yeah, I know. It's just funny. We know it's not that, but it's still funny.
It's funny because
all are wearing it on their outfits, and sometimes the outfits are squiff, so it starts to kind of look like it's on the axis.
A little bit. If you're not paying attention, you don't realize that it's reversed. Yeah, it could look bad. But the worst one was when we saw, what was that film where they go into the lair and he's legit a Nazi? You remember that? That was the other one where I think that was the Street Fighter, wasn't it?
It wasn't the same actor.
No, it was the one with Duke Sonata. And it's uncle.
Like the bodyguard or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was the same main actress in that movie as well.
I think it might be.
Oh. That's exciting. So anyway, we're setting up the film. Her brother's been, he's an undercover police officer working with the criminal organization in Hong Kong. Is it in Hong Kong? Why are they in Hong Kong? Because they go over to...
Because I think they're transferring the heroin between Yokohama and Hong Kong.
Right. So he's been captured. They don't know where the fuck he's gone. Mm-hmm. And they need somebody to go in. And of course, she's his sister. So yeah, let's not use an actual trained operative or another cop. Let's just get his closest living relative.
He literally says, you're the only one for the job, right? Something like that.
I mean, did they even know she had martial arts background?
I don't think that looked very far.
We didn't like him very much, and we needed to look like we're doing something.
Time is of the essence.
Yeah. And you showed up, so good luck. Here's a badge.
Yep. I didn't think they even give her a badge.
No, you're on your way. Hopefully they paid for her fare to get to Yokohama.
Yeah. No, she just had to catch a boat.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But Yokohama is your, coastal fishing village?
It's a big port.
Major port.
Major port.
Yeah, it's a major
port. If you watch Japanese TV and it's a show where they're based in Yokohama, inevitably there'll be a shot of the water and goes, burr, so you know that they're near the water. You hear a boat go burr, in the background.
And maybe a couple of seagulls.
Yep.
And eventually you'll see like a Ferris wheel.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. And
because it's famous for nothing else.
It's littered with
sailors. Hey, the cup noodle museum's there.
Oh, that's right.
giant Gundam.
Yeah, Giant Gundam.
Oh, shit. Is that where Yokohama is?
There is one.
There's more than one Giant Gundam. There's more than one.
It used to be in Odaiba, I think.
Yeah, they moved.
Okay. There's more than one Giant Gundam. Of course there is, because, you know, you can't just have one.
No. How can they fight?
That's right. Yeah. How are we expected to be saved from aliens if there's only one? We need more.
So, she shows up. It starts with her just going to like a regular bar and asking questions and getting into a fist fight.
She's getting hassled by guys that are trying to get... I don't even know that she speaks before they start going, hey, pretty
thing. No, that's where introduced with her just beating the shit out of them.
But it's you have to understand, this bar is... the bouncer is Bruce Lee.
He looks like... He's wearing the glasses. He looks amazing.
I don't know this guy. He looks like Bruce Lee.
There's a few guys that look like Bruce Lee in this film. The weirdest thing, though, that really took me out of the film was that she goes to this coastal Yokohama bar and orders spaghetti.
It's Club Mandarin, was it?
No, Club Mandarin. The first place isn't Club Mandarin. It's just a random place that she's going.
Who orders spaghetti? And this is in the middle of the day.
Maybe it's the only place you can get spaghetti. It's in Yokohama. It's international.
She's Chinese.
She wants the spaghetti.
She's half Chinese. She's like, I don't know what Japanese food there is. What's a food that we both know? What's a food that we both know? Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Right? Originally came from China, but whatever. Hong Kong?
These guys in the bar are total sleazeballs too, putting their feet up, blocking her, just like being real
pieces
pricks.
Of shit. And she's like, I'm going to show you how I fight. And she beats the fuck out of
But it's the weirdest thing though, because she starts off by catching flies with toothpicks.
Stabbing them. And then getting them up their nose and in their mouth. Yeah. Gross ass shit.
2024, first movie watched. Already got animal cruelty for the year.
Do you reckon they're real? Do you reckon that she legit killed those flies?
Well, there's some birds later that copper. I don't know.
I think those birds were already dead.
Oh, okay.
I think they're stuffed. I don't think
they're stuffed now.
That blow dart guy was not that good. Cool mohawk though.
Yeah.
But yeah, this fight is.
And it gets interrupted by like her, cousin.
Yeah, her cousins. I think. Because they come in and immediately they're ready to throw down. Like her cousin is just like, oh, fight, let's go. He doesn't even ask.
I just assume all like Chinatowns are just fisticuffs constantly.
I guess that's how they communicate. It's like bees wagging their tails. You know, how do you know the truth about someone unless you can beat them in Wing Chun?
My pushing hand technique.
Yeah.
Okay, you're paying for the food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sticky hand, sticky wallet. So they just cut away like they do a lot in this film. They don't actually finish the fight. They just cut and then all of a sudden
they're eating at a restaurant.
Eating at a Chinese restaurant? It looked like Chinese food.
Well, she didn't get a spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she threw it on somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ended up on somebody's face. And I think this is an exposition dump where they're kind
of
saying.
Yeah, they're just talking a bunch.
You have to understand, just to jump back a bit, one of our sleazy guys in this bar gets teased getting thrown into a fish tank and then gets thrown into a fish tank.
Oh, yeah.
It's very close to the fish tank and we all knew where it was going.
I was kind of hoping it would go the extra step and have a fake like lobster biting, like clawing his butt or something.
It feels like
this movie is one step away from that at all times. Like just going the extra mile.
A bit of comedy.
The extra camp.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that he went into the tank backwards,
yes.
Which would have been harder than if he just went forwards because then he has to kind of land on his ass.
Mm-hmm. And then a lobster could have
got out.
Lobster would have been right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or octopus or crab. Something. They would have had octopuses. Octopi? They would have had something of sticky, sucky.
Like he stands up and goes, oh, and it's wrapped around his head and he runs out.
Yeah. Sam, I love a good sticky, sucky.
Yeah, a good sticky, sucky. Yeah. And it'd be cheap. It was 1974.
Yep.
Yeah.
The ocean was still filled with octopi.
Yeah.
What?
I lost my train of thought. We're talking about octopies.
So they're eating at the thing. They find out, oh, we haven't seen your brother. What's going on? Is this where they find out that... I think the original police officer said, you've got to go to Club Mandarin and there'll be a lady with a rose. She's in there once every month on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
It's bullshit too because as a lady with a rose, they don't elaborate. She's got a rose tattoo on her inner thigh, which is a lady with a rose.
Hot.
Yeah.
No,
is it hot?
No, not really.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of inner thigh rose
So you're
tattoos.
Saying once every Thursday, Angry Anderson from Rose Tattoos.
at 8 o'clock specifically.
Angry Anderson gets on the bar and then pulls his leg out.
And says we can't be beaten.
And tries to badly
and
fix
then all
a house.
The bikers come out and they have a fight.
You guys are making a better film.
Australian humor.
Stop it.
Sorry.
But she does find a chick with a rose tattoo.
Yeah, and they get together. And just as they're about to get together, oh my God, all the Yakuza show up and they take this girl away. And she's like, she throws a fork.
Yeah. Sue throws a fork, hits a guy in the arm.
Continuity, he has that fork injury for a long time.
Oh, he has to wrap the bandage on.
He wraps
that bandage pretty quick. I don't know where he gets. They assume Yakuza always have bandages on them. They're always strapped around the waist. He just undoes that.
Is that what that's for? Just, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think that's what it's for, but
well,
I think it's funny.
They didn't have first aid kits at the time, so it could have been what it's for.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, they probably did have first aid kits. If they got bell-bottom flares, they got first aid kits. But they run out. They make a beeline. This girl, this one girl, Sue, throwing a fork is enough for all the yaks to take this, what's her name? Sing? Yang Sing?
I can't remember.
Fan Sing?
Yeah, and they take her out of the club because one guy got hit with a fork.
Yeah.
And this is funny because it's an overhead shot. You talk about these weird Dutch angles, Scott. It's an overhead shot on a tilt, so it's not straight. And then she jumps straight from off camera onto these group of guys.
There are a lot of bits in this movie where like anyone who's actually in the scene can see everything. Like there's no surprises, but everybody's constantly acting surprised when someone shows up on screen, but everybody would see the person well before.
If it's not on screen, no one can see it.
Yeah.
Again, this is 1960s Batman. It's Adam West.
She does. She jumps out of nowhere, lands on everyone, beats the shit out of a few of them.
I think my favorite bit in this is where she's like going up, like she climbs, does the alley climb up to the seat, like to the on top of a building, and the other guy's trying to do it just as fast, but she beats him and then she just kicks him in the head and steps on his fingers and he falls onto the ground.
And his face is fucked up.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. It's great.
Can I just say, for 1974, I think the wound makeup is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And in high resolution, it stands up. Like, you can't see weird...
I mean, it looks fake, but you can't see the edges very well.
One of my favorite bits when they're running through the alley. Now, bear in mind, they didn't plan for anyone to get hit with a fork and they didn't plan to make a hasty retreat, but somehow there is a special mini-boss henchman just waiting.
With a chain and kummer sickle kind of deal.
He's great. And he jumps out just as the bad guys like run past him. He jumps out to ambush her out of nowhere. And this guy must be all of like 4'2" and he's got an actual costume, so he looks unique.
He's a mini-boss.
And he is so ineffective. So ineffective.
He throws the bladed weapon at her. She catches it, throws it back, gets him right in the eye. And for the rest of the movie, he carries that injury too. He's got like the Jubei like patch. It's not a sword hilt, but it's like a money. Is it a money?
I don't know.
It's like a. It looks like a
Bitcoin.
Like, yeah, it looks like
a Bitcoin. Long,
a Bitcoin.
Oh, right.
It looks a bit like a pull, like a stretched out coin.
Yeah, and he wears it for the. Well, at first he's got a bandage mm-hmm. as it heals, but then once it's kind of healed,
he's like, "I'm gonna have to lean into this injury. I have to be badass."
Yeah, but he doesn't look badass at
no.
any point.
No, because he's tiny.
Yeah, and he gets dispatched off really quickly.
Yep.
As most of the mini bosses do in this film, actually, they spend a lot. I reckon they spend more time building them up.
They even give him announcements like subtitles, like "This is such and such."
This is the seven Thai Amazons.
This guy's the you know the master of the blowpipe or whatever the hell it was, and this lady's the karate champion of the southern hemisphere.
She doesn't fight. I'm really disappointed.
Ava Parrish, no, yeah. But she does some moves.
Yeah,
she looks like she can do karate.
Does the Lakata set?
I know she waves her hands around, and you see her from a distance. I don't know if she's any
good. She breathes like she understands what she's doing.
I think she's the only mini boss that doesn't fight, right? Everyone else actually.
I think so.
Throws. I wonder what happened there. That's got to be a story there.
A cut or something.
Mm. Maybe they couldn't afford her any longer.
So essentially, there's two. You described it here. There's two stories happening in this movie. There's we need to find my brother and defeat these Yakuza guys, and internally, the Yakuza guys have got this power struggle essentially going on with the leader of the Pyramid Heads and
actual drug dealer guy.
There's like a weird internal.
So there's like an evil karate cult. That's that.
Well, yeah, there are.
They're an evil karate cult. They wear bags on their head.
Well, okay. So
laundry bags.
Whenever they introduce each of the sub bosses, they kind of distinguish what clan they're from or what like martial arts school they're from. And this guy, who apparently his name is Hammerhead, the guy, the leader of the Straw Hats. I shouldn't say Straw Hats. That's One Piece. He's the leader of the Coneheads. And
what are they called? They look like a particular kind of monk from like the Edo period.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're always ninjas.
Yeah, but they're terrible.
Yeah, they're not very good in this movie. They look cool, though. Mooks in the perfect mookie way, except they take their helmet. They take their hats off. They shouldn't take the hats off.
No, they look very imposing with their hats on, and then as soon as they take them off, they're just scarred, faceless mooks. Mooks
soldiers.
Yeah, they are. But this guy, Hammerhead, he is like a corrupt clan, right? So whereas the Yakuza is just a Yakuza boss, he's just a crime boss. But then there's the clan guys. But the Yakuza boss apparently likes to collect notable bad guys, I guess.
He likes to have a menagerie of bad guys.
Yeah, specialists that take care of business.
Yeah, but because he's too busy like sleazing on girls and...
Doing flips. He's wearing claws.
He's got stuff to do, so he needs a posse of people to take care of his business.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of parallels with this film to Enter the Dragon, and it was very close, and I wasn't sure if it predated or postdated Enter the Dragon, but it postdates it by a year, which meant that that's enough time for them to watch Enter the Dragon and go, we are ripping off everything.
Everybody in here wants to be the next Bruce Lee.
Yep.
Except Sonny Chiba.
Even his face. I mean, like, you can't tell me that Sonny Chiba wasn't influenced to make all of those mugging moves and
I guess
staring down the camera.
You know, he doesn't use no nunchucks.
No.
He's got a different shit. Too much.
Yeah. He does go though.
Yeah. But it's okay to go ah. Everybody goes ah.
But Sonny Chiba's
Rock Hudson went ah.
Sonny Chiba's too good. Sonny Chiba's too good to ape someone. He gets inspired. He doesn't rip off, right? Yeah. Is my impression.
But there's so many dudes in here which like mirrored, like not mirrored shades, but darkened shades and like...
Aviators.
Double nunchucks. So many double nunchucks.
Making the what-ah sound, you know.
So what do we have? We had the Tomfa guy. We had the staff guy. We have the needle guy.
He throws needles.
You got the blow dart guy, kind of doubling up on the needle guy.
He wears a weird shield, the blow dart guy.
Yeah.
It's like a Spartan.
Mm-hmm. We got the seven Amazonians.
Seven Thai Amazonians, yes. Southern Hemisphere karate champion Ava Parrish.
Who doesn't fight. We got that guy who's just lifting weights, the fat guy.
The fat rapist.
We got the guy wearing the hat with the extreme tan.
Yes.
And the gun.
Extreme tan.
I love how everybody keeps losing their guns in this movie.
There's only three guns max in this film.
Yeah, I would expect a pretty substantial heroin like outfit to have more guns than that.
Maybe heroin's flammable. Can't be shooting guns.
Question for you. How many Batman villains had guns in the 60s version?
The Penguin definitely had a gun in his umbrella.
Not enough for the American people.
There you go.
Well, maybe that's what makes them supervillains. They don't need guns.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze had a freeze gun.
Did he even appear in the 60s version?
Yeah, maybe, maybe not.
Did he hang out with the Penguin?
Keeping him cool.
I don't even know if the Penguin was the original
villain. Oh, he was. The Penguin definitely is.
Definitely? Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Anyway, let's move on from this. This is terrible.
Yeah, Joker had a gun, but he just went bang.
Until it didn't.
So, yes, no, there's not many guns. But then, I mean, it's a martial arts film. So, if there were too many guns, it would be a gunfighty bang-bang film.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the one gun that sort of goes off blows a truck up full of wigs.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Dangerous. Heroin. Guns are dangerous.
Yeah. It's flammable, man.
So, let's go back to the plot. We go back to the plot. The woman's getting taken. Guess who shows up out of nowhere just to steal a car? Sonny the Cheapster.
But how does he distract him? Rolling barrels.
Rolling barrels.
He's Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm. He does beat the fuck out of that guy coming out of the car.
Yeah, yeah. He looks so styling when he beats the shit out of people.
It's a hero shot, and they've certainly like played it up to go, this is Sonny Chiba. Look at the shit he can do. He is great. And then he's gone, just like that.
I just love how he just hops in the car and drives away.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
He's just going to his next movie set.
Yeah. They don't explain his entrance or exit, really.
Nope.
And he just fucks off.
And he takes the girl, right?
Yeah.
Fencing.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's why Sue's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah. And then we go to... Is this where we go to the Kenpo school?
Yeah. And that's when she finds out that it's Sunny.
So we interrupt this movie for karate demonstration for about 5 minutes.
The demonstration was really good. It was good martial arts happening there. They shouldn't have put that in. Because it really highlighted how bad.
I thought like it looked a bit sloppy, but that's how it would look in real life anyway. Like not everybody is.
It looked sloppy but hard. Yeah. Like when they connect, it looks like boom.
It was fast as well, and looked painful. Like, it looked like it would hurt.
Yeah. So they meet up. They get a bit of a spiel. You find out Sonny Chiba's like the best student.
Of course,
used to look after ambassadors. Used to be like a music star. Like, he's everything. He's everyone to every person ever.
An ex racing car driver.
Yeah,
yeah. Not even making this shit up either. No. That's what they say.
But he's doing sparring with one of the two other ladies, the extra ladies. I think is it Emi Hayakawa?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that her?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, I'm pretty sure they call the Emmy out when she arrives later.
Mm. So she's holding her own too.
Yeah. She does not get flipped onto her back. She lands on her feet during all of the martial arts sparring shit. So they get introduced, and then I feel like she just pops up again and just starts fighting bad guys. Like,
she does.
It just goes straight to the next bad guy fight.
There's three girls. There's Sue, Emmy, and there's another girl as well.
The rose tattooed lady.
No, doesn't she die?
She does.
She does.
The other one.
I think it's the girl that originally shows up. It's one of her cousins at the beginning of the film. And it's the three girls and Sonny Chiba, essentially, that dismantle this Yakuza mob.
I want to say it's Reiko, but isn't she the daughter?
No, Reiko's the daughter.
Reiko's the daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a third lady. I can't pick her.
Tassel's
girl. I think she's the one of... I can't remember which one it is. One of them's the Sonny Chiba's girlfriend who runs the ballerina studio. And I did find that really funny. That was...
Based on the name alone, Sonny Ohari... Okay. It sounds like a lady's name.
That's right. I forgot about the ballerina thing.
Yeah, and I love how Sonny Chiba, as soon as he meets like Sister Street Fighter, he meets Sue. He's like, yeah, my girlfriend. she's a ballerina. She runs a ballerina school. That's where we've been hiding the. I can't remember the rose woman, and he's. I was just like, no, all the women hit on me all the time. Put this out straight away.
Lay it out straight up front. Yeah, just know that I'm taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. See this ring? Taken.
Just putting his palm out everywhere to show his wedding ring.
But yes, the ballerina girl, she's teaching a ballerina class.
Yeah.
And this is when these straw hat guys show up. And it kind of highlights them as buffoons, really, because they look amazing. They look so cool. And they rock up and they're wearing these kind of tank top robe kind of things.
They look a bit like Akuma ripped off arms.
Yeah.
They're like, fucking gotta show the guns.
And then they don't lose to the ballerina school. They lose to one ballerina.
Yeah. Which they lose to Sonny Chuba's, like...
His girlfriend.
And as you guys said, the second those hats come off, they're just like, duh, and they're useless.
They're terrible.
All their power is in their facelessness.
Now, I hate for people to think that we just didn't pay attention to any of the characters, but the movie takes no pains at all to introduce anybody's names, characters, motivations, or anything.
No. There's a bit later on where, like, it goes back to the uncle... And the uncle's like in on the drug smuggling. And he's just like, I've got some buns for my nephew. I'm like, why are you there? Why are you in there with buns? Like, what's going on?
How did you get there?
What do you think?
Well, that's exactly why the Yakuza boss was just like, let me see those buns. That's suspicious. And he was right to check those buns because they had a note. What a why did he even need a note? He could have just whispered in his ear, have these buns. We're coming to save you.
And then she just jumps. So there's a couple of bits where it goes back and forth to the bad guys and talking about their bad guy plans and shit. Who cares about any of that? No one.
No.
Because they get off him pretty quick, and then she jumps a fence and starts fighting people.
She flies over the fence.
Yeah.
But this is the weird thing about this moment. She sees a fence, and we're like, no. And then she flies over it, jumps over it. She lands on the other side, and about six guys rock up and go, hey, how'd you get in here? As if they didn't just see her jump over the fence.
They must have watched her the entire time.
You have to understand that about 10 seconds before that happened, Nathan goes, like that was the sound that was going to be made. And yep, over the fence she goes.
And it's not like she starts fighting straight away. She stands there sheepishly as if like, well, I don't
how
know.
Did I get here?
Yeah.
She just tries to walk off. Like, that's what you're there for, woman. You're there to fight all these people.
And she doesn't fight until one of them grabs her and goes, hey, you're not supposed to be here.
Get out of here, boy.
Get out of here. And she kicks the crap out of them. But then, inexplicably, they cut away again.
No, they don't
the
cut away.
The hammerhead rocks up.
What's his face? Hammerhead rocks up and goes, oi, I'm going to fight her. And then they fight on a bridge.
Yeah.
And she falls.
It's because they flew to another destination.
Yeah, they flew to another destination.
Somehow they're on rocks.
Yes. And normally, like, what were you saying, Rachel? Normally, they show them jumping at least. Like, you know, they cut from a jump to them landing somewhere. But this one is just a straight smash cut.
A simple, we can't fight here. Let's go somewhere else. Gang, cut.
Well, get in the car. Yeah. Drive down.
Get
out the car.
Beep, beep.
On rocks.
Well, we do know that place is right near the beach because it's his compound. Yeah, because it's his compound. We see the pool and that's overlooking the beach. That's what we're saying. It's like a 100-meter pool and the beach is right there.
Yeah, but they had to go from the field to the rocks, which weren't in view.
No.
So, it would have been more than 20 meters.
So, they could have just reversed a shot and they could have jumped back over the fence.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that'd be funny if they had to unlock the gate to go back out.
Did they explain how she lives?
How she lives?
What do you mean?
Did she fall off a fucking bridge?
That's right. That's correct. Yes. And she also changes clothes when she shows up again.
Yeah. I thought it was Ninja Trickery or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, she did. She poofed and then there was a fake doll that fell over.
See, this is the lore of fights, right? Like, you show a fight and it's give and take. And this guy, Hammerhead, way better than she was in this fight. He kicks the shit out of her and you think, oh, she's got to come back, right? Because she's Sister Street Fighter. No, she gets kicked off the bridge and presumably to her death because that doll that was spinning in the air
was supposed to be her, but now I've decided that was obviously Ninja Man.
So doesn't this make my Batman theory more credible? Because isn't like at the end of Batman, the TV show, there's like, how do we get out of it? And then like they cut and Batman's fine. It's like, oh, I just did this, Robin. And it's explained it away. Like,
it's been a while since I've watched original 1960s Batman.
Do yourself a favor.
I've got Batman 66 on a DVD. Or Blu-ray even. I might watch it. Yeah, Bat repellent, you know. Mm-hmm. Backshot repellent.
Yeah.
I remember one, he was encased in a tomb or something, and then like after the ad break they come back and they're in the bat lair and Robin's like, what happened? He's like, well, I just simply held my breath till you arrived. Like, just hand wave where these things, like, it's no big deal.
At least they explained it. This one didn't explain shit.
Like, they're bitter, like, what will happen to Batman? Is he going to die? Stay tuned. It's like, I held my breath, no biggie, next.
There was a button and it opened a door.
Let's point out the fact that the bad guy, the Yakuza boss in this thing, he has buttons everywhere. He has buttons in mattresses.
In his mattress.
Behind, like, paintings. Not behind paintings, just randomly on desks. All over the place.
He just likes buttons. Secret doors and buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, like, underrated. Like they never really had Amazon buttons come here. So you can press a button and order like more washing powder or something.
Yeah, you can set up the button to be the specific thing that you want, and then you just push it.
Button. Shit! So you can just stick them around your house, like in your mattress, behind your door or something.
If I went to your house and I knew you had a button for more toilet paper, you'd be getting a lot more toilet paper working out your house.
Yeah. I think you only have to put that, like, you put it on your fridge and you accidentally push it once. And it shows up the next day and you're like, ah, fuck.
Why is there a credit card bill for $600? Yeah. Click, 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 click.
I don't need another fridge. What's this for?
Yeah, so he has a lot of buttons.
He's repurposed these buttons to be death as opposed to goods and services.
There's a great one where he pushes a button, she falls in. This is later in the film. She falls into a, like, it's a trapdoor. I'm like, how did you know that button was going to do that trapdoor?
At the exact same time that she was standing there.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it was a narrow corridor. It was a big room.
Yeah.
She could have been standing anywhere.
It's like Dungeons and Dragons where you just make shit up and make people like die because you feel like it. So you just press a button and makes it do whatever.
He rolled a 12.
the director is also a DM.
Yeah, critical failure. Yeah. See you later. That's what she. That's what happened with Sonny Chiba. He crit hits that guy. That's why he was able to rip out his intestines.
He rolled a double 12.
So there's a bunch of different fight sequences in here. They're all okay. Like all bad. I don't know which way to put that. They're all kind of fun. But they're not very, like,
technical. Well, are you talking about her fights, though?
All of them.
Nah. Whenever I saw Sonny Chiba, I was...
Entertained? Enthralled.
I was entertained, yes. I wanted to see
except that one bit where he fights that guy and you, like, it's to the side and you see every single thing not touched.
Oh, he misses, yeah. He misses his face by, like, a foot.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever she's fighting, I'm like,
I don't think her martial arts is that great, but she's convincing enough and it's camp enough that I can forgive it. It's like, yeah, it's entertaining.
You love when she screamed off...
Yeah, I was going to say... The whole movie is just scream followed by something really sudden happening, like scream, punch to the jaw equals burst artery or something like that.
Your blood coming out of the mouth. I really liked her scream. Her scream was a good scream. It was like, I'm going to fuck you up.
And she, I think she pulls off the role, the title of, quote, Sister Street Fighter. Well, she's good enough. She's like stern enough.
Yeah, she's an all-rounder. Hmm. Like, I found her charismatic enough to hold the film
She's
together.
Better than the other three ladies, apart from the ballerina, maybe, in terms of being a leading lady, I think.
She learned how to use the nunchucks and the, what's the other, the sai?
Yeah.
I thought she looked better with the nunchucks than the nunchuck guy.
She did.
The nunchuck guy looked afraid of his own nunchucks.
Did she wear like a, what do you call it, a vest?
Oh, yeah, she could have been wearing something.
A mesh t-shirt.
He's wearing a mesh t-shirt.
With nothing underneath.
Like, you remember we watched that movie?
He's just coming from the gay club.
Remember we watched that movie with Gordon Liu and he's going around learning all those different, and he learns like overnight, like, oh, I can learn drunken boxing. I think she does that better, picks up that stuff better than Gordon Liu does in that movie.
Yes. Yes.
If you know what I mean.
I do.
And I can't remember what the movie was.
No, it wasn't Mysterious Weapons of China. No, it was the one where, his wife, because he marries a Japanese girl.
Yes.
And then he incidentally slanders all of Japan. He has to fight them all. That was pretty good. No, that was Legendary Weapons of China, wasn't it?
No, I'll look it up.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay. It wasn't Legendary Weapons. I want to say, for some reason, I've got Hapkido Girl in my head. But
it's a Lau Kar Leung film, I'm sure.
Not Hapkido.
No, it's not. It's not Hapkido. That one. Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah. But that's the one I put in my head.
Anyway. It's in our back catalogue of podcasts. So
it was a good movie.
I'm sure a listener will. Yeah, it was a very good film.
She scandalizes the world by doing...
Was it Heroes of the East?
Yeah, it was Heroes of the East. That's right. She's
like,
he
kind of just walks around and goes, oh, I'll learn that. And just. Yeah. But I thought she did that a little better. Like, she can pick up the weapon and just wing it.
Yeah, she did very well. And she had, I think, the whole montage at the beginning of the film, she was using lots of different weapons, right? Like staff. And interestingly, I think it was most of the weapons that she ended up using in the film.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
Nani?
Chekhov's weapons.
So they come in, they beat everybody up in the ballerina while the undercover lady, Rose lady, is going through with heroin withdrawals.
Immediate heroin withdrawals.
She's normal, then she's in the middle of it.
Yeah,
like, straight away.
It's crazy. And that's how it really happens, kids. That's how heroin withdrawal works. It's
just, and then the blow dart guy gets her.
In the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. While she's looking out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And kills a bird.
Yeah, also kills a bird.
He's so good. He can nail her right in the heart from, like, I don't know, maybe 20 meters away. And he just... Because Sue walks in, she's standing still, misses her head completely, and then's able to hit a tiny budgie.
I think he meant to hit the budgie. I don't think budgie. He was like, that's a warning.
And he was like on a rooftop through another window, right? Yeah. He had some good skills.
And then he ran away.
Yeah.
Didn't even finish.
Well, he only had three blow darts.
Oh, that's true. You run out of ammo.
He had that six shield, though.
Yeah, he did. He should have gone in there with the six shield.
You know the weirdest thing, though? In the finale fight scene, he shows up, doesn't bring a shield or blow darts. Just runs in thinking that he
can fight. Again, must have run out and needed to go to the blow dart store.
And he's wearing like these, just a pair of black leggings and a mohawk.
Lame. He becomes very lame at the end.
He does.
Like Ava Parrish could have taken that role, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to find out what happened to Ava Parrish in that film.
Sonny Chiba, call me. Oh, wait, hang on.
Oh, COVID, you motherfucker.
So, she... I mean, the whole point of this film is for her to rescue her brother, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't. And she doesn't.
Well, no, because the bad guy is using her brother as a drug guinea pig to see how many drugs he can pump this guy with and see what happens. What'd you say he was, Scott? Blanker? You're going to see if he turns into Blanker?
Yeah. The experiment.
They get through there. They go to... I'm just trying to work out what happens next. She's...
She does end up getting him out.
Yeah, but there's like a whole bunch of scenes in between there. And none of it matters. Like there's that scene where the bad guys show up at the karate school and they fight and Sonny Chiba breaks that dude's arm.
Fucking that was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, Hammerhead. It's worth talking about.
I mean, that's Hammerhead. He's the head guy and probably the most dangerous bad guy at this point because he throws that chick off the bridge.
Yeah.
And then he shows up at the school with his straw hat guys who just fucking do nothing. They do nothing.
They look sad when he gets his arm broke. Yeah. Like, ooh.
They all gather around him going, boss, boss, boss. Sonny Chiba breaks the shit out of his arm. It's great. Yeah, but he cheats though because they're having like a fight, fist fight. And then when Hammerhead's losing, he pulls out these weird single blade Wolverine claws. And then he cuts Sonny Chiba and Sonny Chiba doesn't like to bleed his own blood.
No.
So then he grabs his arm and just breaks it. Yeah. And then he tells everyone, he's like, get the fuck out of here. You tell your bosses, we'll take on anyone. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. You'd be kind of crazy. I think you'd be kind of crazy. He think dude had like, what, six guys with him plus him. So like seven. That school was full of dudes.
Oh, you're saying it's stupid to take on a whole school?
Yeah, it's real dumb.
Yeah, but there's the honor thing, right? Because if Hammerhead was really cocky about it, he'd be like, I could just challenge anyone to single-hand combat, right? Because they'd have to honor that. Because otherwise the school would look weak because the school was mobbing him. So you just go there and go, bring out your best fighter.
But here's the secret inner story, though. Hammerhead's a bit down because his boss is such a wanky prick and he wants to be the boss.
Yeah.
So he's drinking and a bit down and out. So maybe there's a secret story there.
His face is also, he's very unhappy. Yeah.
He's made some bad life decisions.
Why does he carry marbles? I don't know.
I assumed it was like him working his fingers or something. I don't know.
Okay.
He's got tough fingers. For a while he was going to flick him at people. I thought that was going to be his thing.
Yeah. Or use them as like brass knuckles or something. Yeah.
It doesn't.
No.
So, at this point in the movie, if this was a video game, you'd be like, fuck, I need a save point, quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we made it this far. But yeah. So, he's got a broken arm and he's out of the picture for a while.
Yeah, he's just drinking at this point. Mm. Even the boss later on says, what the fuck is use to you, piece of shit?
But as he's leaving being a coward, he stops to call him a useless piece of trash, right?
Well, the boss does have a very big bar in his bedroom / secret lair, so what else would you go do?
He's so... The boss is just so indulgent, isn't he? Every time you see him, he's either wearing like a robe or he's like...
I'm actually really disappointed with how he's... Like the outfit he's got at the very end, which is just like the stripy pants, a belt and the knife fist, the knife gauntlet.
You didn't like his outfit.
No,
what if he had a stripy jacket?
It would have been way better if he'd had anything else going on.
He needed a crop jacket to go with his high pants.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. He needed a cape.
A cape would have also been good.
Or a cloak.
I don't know. I just feel like his fashion was pretty fucking funny all the way through until the end.
As soon as he took the glasses off, he lost me.
Yeah.
Like, ah, he should have been old.
It would have been cool if his eyes were fucked up in some way.
Or if he had a weird scar.
Yeah.
Like a cross. Or he was blind. That would have been a great fucking twist. He's blind.
Yeah, okay.
You feel sorry for him, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you'd feel sorry for him.
Is that why he's like ravaging those women trying to find the boobs? Oh.
So he's missing his aim.
It'd be funny if it was
He's trying to give him a pleasant kiss on the cheek, but he can't find it.
It'd be funny though if it was just like a raisin on a coconut. It was just he's blind. He doesn't know what's a boob.
Shh, it's funny.
Don't come up with a better movie while we're talking about
it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really know what else
Her
to say.
Actual rescue is pretty anticlimactic because he's pretty fucked up on drugs anyway.
And the blow dart guy gets him again. Oh, or is the knife guy?
No, it's the...
They call in the priest.
Yeah.
The guy
is he a priest?
If they say he's dressed like a priest.
He has a spear gun?
Yeah.
And apparently that's more lethal than an actual gun?
I don't understand why no one has actual guns.
He kills the brother.
Yeah, he kills him good.
With two darts.
Does the brother get a lot of spray?
Yeah, blood spray.
Yeah.
On the darts.
He pulls one of them out and it's like, oh, he's going to throw it back and dies. It's like, oh.
Very dramatic death. And then we get a bunch of like red flowers. I assume they're roses.
On the floor?
Yeah, I assume that was metaphorical.
His blood turns into roses.
Mm-hmm.
Sadness.
Yeah.
Romance. I don't know. Who knows?
Also Sunny and the two girls rock up as backup.
Yeah, Sonny Chiba and the girls rock up. It's a bit Charlie's Angels.
It's weird that they, when they're in their fighting outfit, they wear like white clothes with a black robe over the top. So it's their fighting gear. And I don't know that.
Is that just what people that do Kenpo wear?
Yeah, no, look, that's fine if you're doing Kenpo, but you're in the middle of like a life or death struggle against the mafia or the Yakuza.
Maybe not. Well, I would probably not wear flares then either.
Yeah.
You want to be comfortable, right?
Bell bottoms? Nah, out. Big.
Just wear underwear.
Just wear underwear.
Pair of speedos.
I think the ballerina in the ballerina fight had the right thing. Just a jumpsuit. Just a white jumpsuit.
Yeah, she looked pretty good.
Yeah.
She looked very fit.
She looked fit and lithe and like you weren't accidentally going to get caught on anything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because if you're wearing tassels and shit everywhere,
yeah,
that stuff's going to get caught in size. It's going to get caught everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Just think about these things, people. Yeah.
On the regular, my regular just shorts and a t-shirt, I get snagged on the door every now and then.
<All the time. laughs> Yeah. Imagine fighting a gang. You'd be screwed.
But just at the end here, there's a bunch of like great violent actions.
Punctuations.
Yeah, there's the guy who gets the psi in the top of his head.
Yeah, this is the same guy that got the scythe in his eye earlier in the film.
Yeah.
And there's a great moment where both of them are just flinging their scythes, because they both got scythes now. They're flinging their scythes, just posing.
Spinning them around.
Yeah.
Doing tricks.
For nothing, really.
Yeah, no reason.
Yeah.
He gets one in the head. One of the guys gets his face just filled with glass.
Oh, that's Hammerhead. He gets punched into the mirror.
Yeah.
It was funny, though, because it was the only mirror that broke because you said, Nathan, that they didn't have a budget to break more than one.
Also, the bad guys have a female bad lady, and she dies on the spikes.
Yes. She also...
Because she's whipping a heroine there.
She really didn't look that into the whipping.
But she was still doing it.
Yeah.
She just came out of nowhere. You know, like, I assume she was just a floozy that was around.
She was around all the time, though, and she had that scary, like, 1970s/80s, like, helmet hair. I'm like, she's evil.
Didn't you get kicked in the pool?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
You just didn't think, you don't know whether she's a victim or is she actually part of the gang?
Doesn't matter.
She just kind of rocked up and sort of, she was just like a mook, I guess. Like,
yeah.
She's like, she was like a mini boss.
Well, she died.
Is she poison?
Is she poison?
From Final Fight.
Final Fight, mini boss with a whip.
She did have a whip. Yeah, I don't know.
Or more like the double dragon ladies with the whips, maybe.
Yeah, actually, that's a better pull.
Beat me and Jimmy. Yeah.
She didn't last long. She died.
No.
All the mini bosses died. Nunchuck guy got nunchucked in the face. They all die kind of ironically.
Oh, what about that dude with the knives? Like the throwing knives who gets his head...
Oh, shit.
He gets his head turned all the way around and then he walks down the stairs backwards.
Yeah, because he's...
That's 2.5 minutes of the censor then, probably.
Yeah. Not like, oops, it's a long scene.
Yeah, it's funny. It's,
it's pretty tragic because, yeah, his head's twisted all the way back. He's wearing like a backward suit. And yeah, it's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, it's funny.
And then he dies.
Yeah.
And and the whole room is just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's when our boss goes, fuck.
And he leaves.
Yeah.
That's when Sonny Chiba shows up again. I was like, I don't need him.
No.
He just did the most brutal death of all, and then he shows up.
And then he rips out that guy's intestines.
Oh, well, the one-upmanship.
He also gets a line in on the girls who were helping. He's like, women just slow me down. It's like, you didn't really need to say that.
After that.
They were doing okay.
Then it should have been an extra deleted scene after Final Fight. Like if you did a double perfect all the way through, Sister Street Fighter should then just beat the shit out of Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah, that's right.
What if Sonny Chiba spun like Mike Haggard?
Spinning lariat.
This film, it made me want to watch more Sonny Chiba, which I feel was bad for the film because it kind of undermines. Sister Street
Well, I've
Fighter.
Got a lot of them. I've got his collection too, which is like a lot of bodyguard.
He's
bodyguard
not in
too.
All the Sister Street Fighters.
I don't know if he's in all of these, but I've got the Sonny Chiba 7 collection. I've got a bunch of Sonny Chiba movies, actually. We should watch that one where he goes back in time as a soldier, like a modern soldier, and he goes back in time to samurai times with
that
a
sounds
jeep
fucking
and machine guns.
Holy
it's fucking
shit.
Funny as hell.
That sounds amazing.
It's not as good. It's too long. It's way too long.
You made it sound amazing.
It's too long. I would love it if it was like a 90-minute movie, but it's like 2 hours, 2 hours 20, and it sort of... There's a whole... like it's the 70s, so there's a whole scene in there where like it just gets all like... hippie.
Yeah,
so that's fine. We watched these movies. That's fine. Can we just close the movie up? They go through a bat chamber. There's a bunch of bats flying around. Exactly. They're fighting on the rocks.
There's one real spider in there.
Is it really?
I think there's a cobweb in there. You can see a spider so moving in the front.
They just didn't clean it up.
Just left
they're,
it there.
They're fighting on the rocks near the ocean, and there's a bunch of wire work because clearly the sky changes color a bit there, and very unrealistic but hilarious. And then he stabbed himself with a claw.
Yeah, and
she gets sprayed with blood everywhere.
Yeah, oh, it's great. That's a lot of blood.
She's wearing white. It's all white.
It looks great. It actually looks really good.
Then Sonny Chiba goes, "Here's your medallion," and she's like, "Ugh." And then you just get a sunset.
Yeah.
Sonny Chiba is grinning like a maniac when he's handing her the medallion.
Like, I found it.
Yeah, I found it on your dead brother's corpse. Like, yeah, have you go.
Yeah, I think this is important.
You'd be like, thanks, but no thanks.
He had to. He had to have that scene at the end. He couldn't have just left her alone. They
pushed him off the cliff afterwards.
I do want to bring up that last fight sequence. Are they flying at the end of that movie?
Yes,
kind of.
No, I assume that they're doing all these moves really quickly while they're in the air.
Because it feels like they're up in the air for quite a while, like long enough that I'm like, hey, I think he might be flying.
Well, they're wrestling in the air.
Yeah, they're doing moves. They're like super, like elbowing each other, and it's crazy.
I feel like it needed that boss lair, which isn't really shown. Like it's just the pool. They all run out and it explodes or something like that happens.
What should have happened? That shouldn't have been at the rocks. That should have been at the pool. That fight should have been at the pool, and he should have been spraying on her and falling into the pool at the same time and filled that whole pool up with fucking blood.
Yeah, but after the filming, they're gonna get it.
They have to change all the water. Yeah. You're right. They ain't gonna pay for that.
No, they did what they could. They could only break one mirror, so they don't have money for a pool.
No, I like what did you say, Scott? Oh, he's gonna get away in a boat or a helicopter. I was like, this movie does not have enough money for a helicopter.
Yeah, there's no.
No, it was one car.
He drives a car.
And they did blow up that truck.
Oh, the truck.
Well, that's the thing. He gets away on the hair wig boat with the heroine. Ha, ha, ha. And she takes one shot. Bang. And the boat goes.
That'd be great. She doesn't fire guns. So that would be fun, though.
Was that the first one? Was that the first Sister Street Fighter?
Yes.
Just setting the tone then. Yeah. That means there's probably bigger and better later, right?
I was impressed with our lead actress. I thought she did a good job.
Apparently, the next two are exactly the same as the first one. And then the fourth one's very different.
Fantastic. I thought it was quite enjoyable. She was very good. You're right, Scott.
Did anyone notice any stunts? I noticed one that looked like it hurt.
The guy getting thrown off the balcony?
No, because we don't see him land.
Yeah, but it's pretty high. Yeah. Even on like cardboard boxes.
There's a guy who's fighting in where there's some trucks, and there's like it just looks like a concrete ramp because it's part of the ground. It's like built on the ground. And a guy gets thrown and he lands half on, half off. And it's like, oh yeah, that is actually kind of shit.
What about the guy that got his head punched through the poster in the wall?
Oh, yeah, but that was probably cut, you know?
Yeah, even if there was a hole, though, you got to put your head through a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
That was borderline the big boss Bruce Lee coming.
Yeah. Oh, with a cutout? Yeah. Yeah, that
when
was
when she fought all those underlings, and then she started fighting with the Psy guy, and then they were just walking through the corridor, but they made a point to walk around each guy instead of like stepping the fuck on them and crushing them or something.
Stepping on their fingers and shit.
Yeah, you know, normal things instead of just going around, just saying.
If what I've been taught or told about wrestling is the stuff that looks the worst hurts the most. So I hope I got a feeling something in this movie, there's a couple of scenes where like, that didn't look that good, but probably hurt like shit.
Yeah. I just keep going back to that bit where it looks like that guy's like lands half on, half off a concrete ramp.
Also, you know, getting kicked into that fish tank.
Yeah.
It probably hurt.
Yeah. Also, that just looked like a fish tank. I'm sure holding onto the sides was just
There was a scene where someone goes flying into a table and the table doesn't even budge. It just falls over. So that's a real table.
It's a real table. Do you know what I just thought is that guy landing in the fish tank, they might have said to the guy, don't break the tank because we have to do like three shots of this.
We're going to fill this back up.
Oh.
Oh, what about all the women that had their like boobies sucked by that creepy dude? Like that's a shit stunt.
I don't know. He's pretty hot.
What? The boss guy or the rapey fat guy?
No, rapey fat guy is rapey fat guy. But the boss guy, he's cool with his glasses, man. He's very cool.
He's old. Look at how old he is.
Hey, hey, hey. Old people like to have sex too.
Yes, just
gross.
Age limit, that's gross. Please.
She's like, can I be the guy that falls in the tank?
I don't know. We're all in our 40s at this point.
Don't.
Yeah. We become asexual after the 40s, right? That's what happens with the human race.
You stop wanting to fuck.
It just depends on whether your girlfriend got younger or not.
Yeah.
Gross. Well, if you're a crime boss, I'm sure you can afford lots of younger girlfriends.
Well, he's got a menagerie of killers that work with him.
Yeah, that's right.
So he can probably afford ladies too.
If you're rich enough, you don't even need to do crime. Look at DiCaprio. He's never dated a chick over 25.
Oh, topical. His name's in those Epstein things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Shit.
Ouch.
I don't know. I feel like I'm like...
You're dating this podcast right now.
I'm dating the podcast, and B, like, you read a headline and you're like, oh, that sounds bad. And I bet you if I read it, it's not as bad.
I didn't read the whole article. I got no idea what you're talking about. But
I didn't look at it at all because I didn't want to know.
Bruce Willis as well was in the same thing that was released. But those may not be anything.
Maybe, like, they were just working.
It's anything to do with the legal action. So, like...
Then maybe they were just doing catering. Like Bruce Willis was making sandwiches.
Well, no, it could be literally that he's just mentioned in some document somewhere.
Man, Epstein probably has an island like that too, doesn't he? With a pool. He probably has collecting.
Oh, my God.
He's probably some kind of bad guy, right? Well, he is a bad guy, but...
He's dead.
Yeah, he is dead. He is dead.
Just like the bad guy in this movie. Although, thinking about it now, the Enter the Dragon guy and this guy, they private islands.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They're the same film. He's even got one claw hand.
Yeah, right? They're ripping it off. It's a year later. It's ripping it off as hard as they possibly can.
Super ripping it off. You know, Sonny Chiba is Bruce Lee. Actually, that Bruce Lee guy is Bruce Lee.
A new twist on an old classic.
there's the Bruce Lee guy. There's the double nunchuck guy. There's the Bruce Lee guy in the very first fight sequence. There's a lot of fake
there's
Bruce Lee's in this.
There's a guy who's
like
Yunhua.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The priest.
Very heavy. Very heavy Enter the Dragon vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like these Japanese movies because of all of, like, the mini bosses, though. Like, everybody's got a style.
They're colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say something that I don't want to sound all stupid or anything, but it's hard for me to do, I know. Like, I felt like for a 70s movie where the lead is a lady and the other ladies, they're treated all pretty respectfully, apart from a few snide comments from, like, Sonny Chiba and a few of the other guys, they fight pretty well. They're not damsels in distress, and they all come across as pretty decent fighters.
Yes.
Very progressive.
Apart from Sonny Chiba going, oh, you're going to slow me down, just like old women, and some of the bad guys, you know, there wasn't too much of that shit.
The younger woman, like the daughter of the uncle and the fat rape, like she, like that was a shit scene. Like, yeah, that guy's going to rape that woman maybe, unless you call this woman and make her show up. But at the same time, I'm like... Dad, just get the fuck up. Do something, dude.
Yeah,
everybody come across well, though. Like, there was not too much of that 70s shit, you know?
No. I did read somewhere that I read incorrectly that there was no exploitation in this film, but what I think they meant is that the main character doesn't have any exploitation.
Yeah, I mean, this is a couple of boob shots. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Just for the price of admission, as I say.
Yeah.
I feel like they hedged their bets by having Sonny Chiba in this film, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, by having... If they had full 100% faith they were going to make money off just a lead female actress, they wouldn't have put him in.
Well, I'm not sure. Is this her first leading role?
I think this is her first leading role, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, I think all of the female actors, they did very well. And they were all dressed very differently, too.
They all had different silhouettes.
Yeah, you got to look different, man.
Yeah.
You know? Like, cool outfits. One of them was a cowboy girl. The other one was like...
Ballerina.
It was cool. It's like Street Fighter.
So, that was Sister Street
Fighter. That was Sister Street Fighter. I had a question.
Oh.
If you had a secret lair, what cool thing would you want in your secret lair? We talk about hidden doors, death traps. You want buttons everywhere that did things?
I like buttons, but if I could have anything...
Anything.
I'd like a fridge full of like all different kinds of like energy drinks, I think.
Yeah. Do you know that Monster has an alcoholic drink we can't get here?
What?
Yes. It's called...
How dare they deny me alcoholic drinks?
It's a prime for adults.
I think it's called Eye of the Beast or something. But we can't get it here. I looked.
Where can we get it?
America.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you import it?
No.
It's illegal.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably because it's gross.
Probably because it's guarana and alcohol. Because you know how you can't get vodka and Red Bull?
You can get
them separately, but you can't get them mixed together at a bar.
I was going to bring some Thai Red Bulls tonight, but then I thought that's probably a bad idea.
Oh, you should totally do that. That's really good. Be up for days.
Thai Red Bull?
Yeah, you can get the Thai Red Bulls at the markets in near Morley.
Yeah, right. Okay.
My secret lair. I want three things.
Oh.
So I want a statue that I open up with a secret button to open a secret door.
On the head? Like
I want
the neck?
I want a naked statue where I when I grab the penis and I just twist it to the side.
Twist it to the side.
Two, I want a Ghostbuster style fire pole.
A what?
Ghostbuster style fire pole.
Like yeah.
And three, I want a big chair with a giant electronic map behind me. And people come in and I go, I spin around and go, like the...
Can it have red dots on certain cities? Fuck but yeah. that doesn't actually just mean beeping. Anything?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That was just a Richard Norton upgrade. Was it a Russian Lair upgrade?
Hell yeah.
Karov. Just something I've always wanted, because I think this is the coolest thing ever, is you know how beavers make their dams? And then it's closed off, but you got to swim underwater to get up. And the entrance is actually a pool of water. That's what I want. I want to be able to enter my lair from the water.
Like a moat?
Huh?
Like a moat?
No. He's talking about like you go under. Like and Grand then you've Theft Auto? Go, yeah, you go, like, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
you
like
go
a
under,
moon pool.
You go under and then, yeah, and then you come back up. And then you're in an air-filled pocket, essentially.
Oh, and in my secret lair, when I spin around my chair, I want to have I'm holding like, instead of a cat, I'm holding a platypus or something.
A platypus? An endangered animal of some sort.
These things sting you. Just saying.
Yeah. You'd have it de-stung.
Oh, I've trained it from birth. He's my...
he's your attack platypus?
Yeah. Sick him, Rex.
Yeah, that's right.
Me, I would just, very simple, just a bookshelf. The simple bookshelf.
That's how you can even hide.
Oh, a secret bookshelf entrance.
Yeah, you know, the simple things in life.
And you'd pull a book?
Oh, yeah, that'd do.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know. I was thinking you just press the Amazon button. So
your house gets another room when you push the button.
And then like a coffee fountain or something like that inside.
That is totally realistic and very within reach. You could do that. You could have a bookshelf.
Just make one.
A coffee fountain.
It just has coffee coming out.
Like a fondue fountain?
Coffee I have no idea.
Gross.
It's very sticky. It's a very extravagant lair. You've got this is a coffee fountain. Oh, that's the wrong fountain.
That's how she keeps all of her like mooks caffeinated.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They just put, they bring up their mug.
Like any time you can get a Blend 43.
Bring up the cocaine.
Who needs all this heroin? I've got an infinite coffee.
If you need detox, it has to be decaf.
You got multiple coffee fountains.
It's a methadone program.
It's fantastic.
They're still working on the chai latte fountain. It's under construction.
That sounds pretty good too. All right. Thanks for sharing your layers.
And if you want to share something with us... You write in or don't.
Yeah,
but you want to share if you give this a thumbs up, thumbs down or thumbs in the middle?
Thumbs up.
I think it's a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Entertaining.
Yeah, up enough.
Up enough.
The thing is, there's a lot of bits where I feel like it could be better, but what's there is still fun.
Ah, I thought it was
the only
enjoyable.
Handsome is Sonny Chiba. The rest is...
What about the Shohei?
That's good. Shiomi's quite pretty, but yeah.
Also, I don't
know. Who's good looking?
The boss.
He's kind of getting wrinkly. He's getting a bit like, old. Overly tanned.
I thought the
pants are too high.
Yeah, and too stripy. But
he's like Obelix.
The women in this movie are generally pretty attractive. But that's not really the point of the film, I feel like.
But I think it should be. And I think having Sonny Chiba does a disservice to them. I wonder what we could have got if Sonny Chiba wasn't in this film. Like whether the girls would have been given more time to like do some crazier shit.
Well, maybe we find out in the second and the third film.
Yeah.
I feel like he only showed out when he felt like it instead of when he was actually needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, why are you here now? Go away.
Just slow me down.
Steal your car.
Yeah, that's right.
Steal your girlfriend.
No introduction at all.
Steals that car.
Yeah. By the way, did I mention my girlfriend's the ballerina? Yeah. Taken.
And then nothing happens. It's just so you could cut out any notion of romance in this movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I want to watch more of these. I think we should maybe watch another one during the year.
Let's do it.
Perhaps two.
Unless they're not
from 1974.
I have a pretty good feeling they crank these out, so I'm pretty sure they might be from 1974.
Yeah, it's the year of Chiba. Or the year of Sister Street Fighter.
The 50th anniversary year.
Yeah,
right. It'd be a weird thing to do. I kind of do want to research it and see if it's possible.
All right.
I predict that won't happen.
Okay.
I also predict it won't happen.
You get bored pretty quickly.
Well, I tell you what, all of our listeners, all 10 of you maybe, if you want to see it happen, write into us. Asian Action Cast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and let us know whether 1974 is the banger year that you want to see.
Is it a vintage?
That's exactly half a century.
Half a century.
What do you call that, an antique?
Oh, yeah, but we're all antiques here.
We're all antiques. Shit stunt, getting old. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah, we're pretty cultured.